it's time for Backyard and Beyond with LaVon Evelyn, as today's show is brought to you by Harrisdale Homestead, a great place to eat, meet, and retreat. Give them a call at 254-2254. That's 254-2254, or visit their website at harrisdale.com. As LaVon will be back with today's program right after this word from Harrisdale Homestead.
This bed and breakfast is so very nice. The countryside is beautiful, and the rooms have a nice old-fashioned theme to them. I really enjoyed my time here.
It would be hard to imagine a more accommodating place. Very relaxing, and the food was great.
I had a great time. I want to stay forever.
These are a few of the comments from our past guests at Harrisdale Homestead, which is located 7 miles northwest of Atlantic. It's a wonderful, warm, and welcoming setting for family gatherings, card parties, church meetings, bridal and baby showers, retreats, and meetings. Bring your laptops. We're wireless. Plus, we'll cook for you if you'd like. Contact Harrisdale Homestead at 712-254-2254 or www.harrisdale.com. Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, we're always celebrating different kinds of anniversaries, and one of those that's being celebrated right now is the 100th anniversary of the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. Do you have one of those in your cupboard? Well, lots and lots and lots and lots of people do, and there are various versions, but let's look back in time and find out how all of that happened. Fanny Farmer was born in 1857, and she was born into a family that really valued education, and she was the oldest of four daughters. But she had a paralytic stroke when she was 16, so she could not continue her education in college. But she stayed in her parents' home, and during that time, she took up cooking and eventually turned her mother's home into a boarding house that developed a reputation for the quality of meals it served. And then, you know, in the 1800s, early 1900s, probably you don't expect us people to, especially women, to go out and start new careers. But at the age of 30, she was now able to walk, even though it was with a limp. But she enrolled in the Boston Cooking School. And Farmer trained at that school until 1889. And this was, you know, we just think people have always cooked. Well, that's true. But during this time, there was a great movement to put emphasis on domestic science and that it was really important to know how to cook, know how to take care of your home, even if you had, I think, servants, which, of course, for some people, that's how all that work was all done. But for others, of course, never. But when she was training at this school, of course, she learned lots of different things. But she considered the most critical elements of the science, including nutrition and diet for the well, convalescent cookery, techniques of cleaning and sanitation, chemical analysis of food, techniques of cooking and baking, and household management. She was considered one of the school's top students and therefore became the assistant to the director. And finally, in 1891, the position of school principal. Now, her cookbook, which, by the way, was not called the Fanny Farmer Cookbook at that time, it was called the Boston Cooking School Cookbook, and it was based on a version of Mrs. Lincoln's Boston Cookbook. So the Fanny Farmer Cookbook was not original with Fanny Farmer. She just took another cookbook and revised it, as often happens and is often necessary. So in 1884, the book under Farmer's direction eventually contained 1,849 recipes, from milk toast to very fancy desserts and other things. Farmer also, as we said, included essays on housekeeping, cleaning, canning, and drying fruits and vegetables and nutritional information. And the book's publisher, and by the way, well, that was in 1911, the book's publisher did not predict good sales and so limited the first edition to 3,000 copies at the author's expense. But The book was so popular in America, so thorough and so comprehensive that cooks would refer to this later editions as, we now know it, the Fanny Farmer Cookbook. And, of course, it is still in print today and has been revised a number of times. You can get the latest version in hardcover for about $20. And, of course, there are lots of paperback copies also available. Now, what made this book unusual? Well, she, again, provided that scientific explanation, chemical processes, and mostly important, she standardized measurements. Before this time, and if you look at all recipes, you'll find this, a piece of butter the size of an egg or a teacup of milk. You know, the recipes were sort of as people had kind of passed them on person to person. But she standardized those into a system. And so it was a cup full at a measured level and a tablespoon a measured level. A teaspoon is a measured level. And that led to her being named the mother of level measurements. So that means that with the explanations in the cookbook, the results were more likely to come out the way they should. Before that time, it was sort of experimental, but by following the measurements exactly and the instructions and all of the helps that were given it led to people who were not experienced in cooking being able to come out with a very acceptable to excellent product. She left the Boston Cooking School in 1902 and created her own Mrs. Farmer's School of Cookery, where she began teaching gentlewomen and housewives the rudiments of plain and fancy cooking. But she was also very interested, as we said, in diet and nutrition, and including the ill. So she published a book called Food and Cookery for the Sick and Convalescent. She was invited to lecture at Harvard Medical School and began teaching a course on diet nutrition to doctors and nurses. She felt so strongly about the significance of proper food for the sick that she believed she would be remembered chiefly by her work in that field as opposed to her work in the household and fancy cookery. Well, probably not. Farmer understood perhaps better than anyone else the value of appearance, taste, and presentation, both in the sick room and on everyone's dining room table. She later went on, even in her later life, working from a wheelchair. She continued to lecture, write, and invent recipes, giving her last lecture 10 days before her death. And her lectures were published by the Austin... My tongue is having problems today. They were published by the Boston Evening Transcript and were picked up by newspapers nationwide. So, as we said, the Fanny Farmer Cookbook goes on today. And the latest revision by Marion Cunningham has worked to preserve all of the great recipes, but update it in a number of ways. There are some ethnic influences that are included that were not, of course, in the original book. So things like New England clam chowder, chicken jambalaya, cucumber sushi, enchiladas with chicken and green sauce, you know, a number of new recipes put in with the ones that have been there in the kind of the same categories. Also in this revised book, although before there was diet information, now the expanded nutritional chart includes a breakdown of cholesterol and fat in common ingredients, as well as in the basic recipes. And where the taste of a dish could be altered, Mrs. Cunningham, the person who's revised it, has reduced the amount of cream and butter in some of the recipes from the preceding edition. She also evaluates the issues of food safety and alerts to potential hazards. Both Fanny Farmer and Marion Cunningham, who has revised the cookbook, has an emphasis on good flavor, fresh ingredients, and lots of variety in one's daily fare, believing that that's the secret to a healthy diet. So the 13th edition of this Fannie Farmer's Cookbook is still available, updated, as you might want to use it. Now, one thing you might think about is Fannie Farmer Candy. It actually was named, the company was named after Fannie Farmer, but it was not established till 1919, and she died in 1915. So, although that was completely different, I'm sure they received permission to do that. Now, after all of that talk about Fannie Farmer, I have to confess that I have one paperback portion of the Fannie Farmer cookbook, but my go-to book has always been Betty Crocker. And the reason why is that when I was in high school, there was a contest, and I won that contest, received the Betty Crocker cookbook that I still use today, still lots of good recipes in it, also received a pretty little gold pin to go along with it, and when I was in college, got to meet and have dinner, along with quite a few other people, with the person who was then representing Betty Crocker. So that's still my go-to book, along with, I'm not sure how many other cookbooks on my shelf, but a few basic recipes I always turn to, just as those Fannie Farmer cookbook lovers always go to certain recipes. And, you know, those of us who like cookbooks, we're always adding them. And guess what? I'm adding a new Fannie Farmer cookbook to my bookshelf. Until next time, here's a thought. A good storyteller is a person who has a good memory and hopes that other people don't.
This bed and breakfast is so very nice. The countryside is beautiful, and the rooms have a nice old-fashioned theme to them. I really enjoyed my time here.
It would be hard to imagine a more accommodating place. Very relaxing, and the food was great.
I had a great time. I want to stay forever.
These are a few of the comments from our past guests at Harrisdale Homestead, which is located 7 miles northwest of Atlantic. It's a wonderful, warm, and welcoming setting for family gatherings, card parties, church meetings, bridal and baby showers, retreats, and meetings. Bring your laptops. We're wireless. Plus, we'll cook for you if you'd like. Contact Harrisdale Homestead at 712-254-2254 or www.harrisdale.com.
I'm glad you could join us this morning on today's edition of Backyard and Beyond with LaVon Edlin, again brought to you by Harrisdale Homestead, a great place to eat, meet, and retreat. Give them a call at 254-2254 or visit their website at harrisdale.com.